You'd like to mark your songbooks. We're going to be singing song number 27 in a few moments. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Song number 27. Tonight we are going to wrap up with some very practical look at prayer. We have taken a look at lots of different things about prayer. Of course, how it empowers us as God's warriors. We talked about the power who hears our prayers. We've talked about the plugged-in and connected congregation and the plugged-in and connected saints and the plugged-in and connected family. And tonight we want to wrap this up by doing the things that we have studied and talked about by praying. And so tonight I'm going to talk to you about the kinds of prayer. And I've divided it up into three different kinds of prayer. No doubt it could be further subdivided if we chose to. But I think we'll be able to see three overarching kinds of prayer. And we're going to have some brothers leading us in those prayers and then some songs that correspond with those prayers as we take a look at it. So I hope it's a very practical look at prayer tonight and an experience in prayer as we study God's Word. The very first kind of prayer that I want us to take a look at, adoration. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. This was David's prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, as they were collecting material goods, preparing for Solomon to build the temple. And what an amazing prayer of adoration we see. As David adored God for the blessings that he had given, for the strength and the power that he had and that he continues to have. This is adoration. When we talk about adoration as prayer, what we are recognizing is the natural reaction and response of God's children to His awesomeness and His greatness. Having recognized who and what God is, and what He has done, God's children react with adoration. In Revelation chapter 4, we see this reaction demonstrated. In Revelation chapter 4, around the throne of the living God, beginning at verse 9, it says, "And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" When we recognize the creative power of Jehovah God, the natural reaction is adoration. We could further subdivide adoration into two different categories, thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is adoring God for what He has done and what we are completely sure that He will do. Praise is adoring God for who He is and what He can do. We praise God because He is merciful and He is the Savior. We thank God because He sent His Son Jesus to die for us so that we might be saved. We need to honor and glorify and lift God up, adoring Him in our prayers. I'd like for you to consider the second most important reason that we adore God. The first is, of course, the fact that He deserves it. As Psalm 96 and verse 8 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering and come into His courts." He deserves adoration. That's the most important reason we adore Him. The second most important reason, though, is consider that prayer that we read moments ago from 1 Chronicles 29 and the perspective that David had. When we adore God, it puts what's going on in our lives in perspective. David was able to look at all the things that the people had brought to God for His temple. But because he adored God, praising Him and thanking Him, he was able to put all that in perspective. You see, we might begin to think that the kind of things that we do here, we're coming to God and giving Him something. Excuse me. Instead, when we give thanks to God and we praise Him, we begin to realize what He has done for us. And we begin to realize that there is not anything that we have done that did not first come from Him by His strength and by His power. We need to adore God because it gives us perspective on what is going on in our lives and who we are compared to God. David understood that perspective. And it gives us perspective on what's going on in our lives. It's easy because we live in a troubled world and there are all kinds of troubling things that happen and things don't always go our way. And if we're not careful, we begin to think that God's picking on us. But when I spend my time adoring God, remembering who He is and what He has done, and thanking Him for all the many blessings that He has given, I begin to realize He's not picking on me. He really is taking care of me. And I have perspective of the powerful God of the universe who loves and cares for me. I'd like to share with you some practical advice that will help, I hope, in adoring God. Four things that I'd like to share with you. The first thing is, just make sure you actually adore God. If we're going to adore God in prayer, it begins with actually adoring Him, loving Him, recognizing how awesome and wonderful He is. And there's one way to accomplish that. That's spend time in this book. Spend time in God's Word, getting to know Him, seeing what He has done, what He can do, what He is going to do, and as we do that, adoration will come. The second thing I'd suggest is make sure that you adore Him for the spiritual as well as the material. Yes, it's great to thank God for our houses, our cars, our clothes, our food, but we need to realize that the greatest blessings that He has provided for us are the spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that Ephesians chapter 1 tells us God has given us all of those. The redemption in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, the salvation, the victory, the hope of heaven eternal. We need to adore God because He has given us everything that we need for all eternity. Adore Him for the spiritual as well as the material. Thirdly, be specific. Be specific. Don't just thank God for all His many blessings. Name some of the things. Don't just praise God for all that He is and can do. Name some of the things. You know, it's funny, my daughter Trina, she's 4 years old, and she's kind of gotten into this habit as she prays at night, "Dear God, thank You for my family and everything else that You gave us. In Jesus' name, amen." And sometimes our prayers can be like that. We need to be specific. It's interesting because I know my kids have gone back and forth. Trina hasn't gotten into this yet, but I remember one time, and now I can't remember. Maybe Ryan can remind me which one of it was. It may have been him. Was it you? Prayed for the lines in the road. Thank God for the lines in the middle of the road. And I remember with Tessa, we would... There were some nights I'd think, oh, I'm ready to go to bed. Oh, I got to go pray with Tessa. Because it would be, "Dear God, thank You for Mommy and Daddy and for Bubby and for and just on and on and on and this friend and that friend and for my teddy bear and for the lights and for the light switch and for the hallway, and it just on and on and on it would go. But you know, I learned something from that. There really are a lot of things to be thankful for. There really are a lot of things to adore God for. And be thankful for the lines in the road, because that actually does help. Be specific, though, because we need to understand that God is taking care of us. We need to name what it is that God is and what it is that He does and has done and what He's promised. We need to remember that. We need to be specific. And the final thing that I will suggest to you is just do it. You know, the reality is when it comes to adoration, it's perhaps a part of prayer that is not very natural for us. I hate to say it, when it comes to praise language, guys will understand this. Sometimes it's kind of like going and picking out a Mother's Day card or a Valentine's Day card. You pull up that card and you look at it and you're sure it's saying something beautiful, but it's not anything we would ever say. Right, guys? And sometimes when it comes to praise language, we open up Psalms and we think, oh, that's so beautiful, but it's just, that's not anything I would ever actually say. And so we get overwhelmed and we put it off and we don't praise God and thank Him very much. And my suggestion to you, just do it. Just do the best you can. Use language from the Psalms. Use language from songs, from poems. Use whatever comes into your mind. But just demonstrate your adoration as best you can. And ask God to be with you as you try to adore Him even better. We can't adore God. We need to adore God. God deserves adoration. At this time, we are going to be led in a prayer of adoration by Brother Wally Cagle. And then after that, we'll be led in song number 27.
I'd like to ask you all to stand for the prayer and remain standing for the song after. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for today and for the beautiful weather You blessed us with, the cooler temperatures. We thank You for Your great creation and all of the wonderful things we get to see daily. We thank You for Your power and Your might, Your grace and Your mercy on us. We thank You for creating this little earth in just 7 days. We thank You for Your plan of salvation and the sacrifice for Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for our families, Lord, and their health. We thank You for our health, our children's health. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of patience. We ask You to strengthen our patience and continually help us to be more patient. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for the church, and we thank You for each member that is represented here. We thank You for our great country, Lord. We ask that You bring us back to You, bring us back to be one nation under God. We thank You so much for Christ and everything, all the examples that He gave us, the fine example He gives us to pray, how He taught the disciples to pray. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You so much for this beautiful earth. We thank You so much for our jobs, for all the material blessings that You give us, our clothes, the food that You give us. Everything we take for granted, Lord, we know comes for You. We thank You for the air we breathe, Lord. We thank You for this hour we have to come together tonight without fearing harm. In Christ's name I pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. Number 27, joyful, joyful.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, Fill us with the light of day. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Please be seated.
O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which You have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against You. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against You. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in His laws which He set before us by His servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed Your law and turned aside, refusing to obey Your voice. The curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against Him. He has confirmed His words which He spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by Your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that He has done, and we have not obeyed His voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for Yourself, as at this day we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Your righteous acts, let Your anger and Your wrath turn away from Your city, Jerusalem, Your holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of Your servant and to his pleas for mercy, and for Your own sake, O Lord, make Your face to shine upon Your sanctuary which is desolate. O my God, incline Your ear and hear, open Your eyes and see our desolations, and the city that is called by Your name, for we do not present our pleas before You because of our righteousness, but because of Your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for Your own sake, O my God, because Your city and Your people are called by Your name. Confession. That's Daniel's prayer of confession. In Daniel chapter 9, as he pled for God's mercy upon the people of Israel that had been taken captive in Babylon. confession. What is it? We know in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word for confess there in the Greek is homologeo. From two words, homo meaning same and logos meaning words. Same words. In other words, if I am confessing something, I am saying the same words as. When we're talking about spiritual things, that means I'm saying the same words as God says about them. So when I am confessing Jesus as Christ, I am saying the same thing that God says about Jesus. And when I am confessing my sins, I am saying the same things about my sins that God says about my sins. Contrasted here in verse 8 with, if we say we have no sin. The first thing of confession is admitting, as God knows, I sin. But then as I confess that sin to God, confession is not just admitting, yes, I'm a sinner. Confession is saying about those sins the same thing God says about those sins. And if I am truly going to confess my sins to God, what kind of things am I going to say? I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to justify. I'm not going to excuse. I'm going to be just honest. Listen to Daniel's words. We just didn't obey. Our kings, our princes, we heard what the prophets had to say, and we ignored what the prophets had to say. And so this calamity has been brought upon us, not because, God, you're mean, but because we're wicked. And recognizing the wickedness that we really have committed, and understanding that that is exactly what it is. It wasn't just a mistake, it wasn't just a slip, it wasn't just a faux pas, it was evil. It was sin. And we are confessing that. Let me ask you, has anybody ever offered to you kind of one of those half apologies? It starts like this, I am sorry, and then continues, but. When you do such and such, I can't help but do such and such. You ever heard one of those? I'm so sorry, but I just couldn't help myself. I'm so sorry, but when this kind of thing happens, you know what I think? I think God's probably not too impressed with those halfway apologies either. As we come to Him, I'm so sorry, but I couldn't help it because brother or sister so-and-so did this, or this happened, or that happened. Confessing sin means removing all of that and just saying what God says about our sins. Saying what our sin does to us, what our sin did to others, what our sin has done to God, what our sin has done in our relationship between us and God. Confessing it, being honest about it. That is confession. And of course, there in 1 John, it points out that when we confess, when we will say about our sins what God says about our sins, He will forgive us of our sins. And that is what's powerful. It really goes along with the idea of repentance. Repentance, as we've heard in numerous sermons, is the idea of a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And so I'm heading in one direction. By my life demonstrating, I think that direction is okay. But I come to realize that that direction is not okay. And I change my mind to say what God says about that direction. And I confess that to God. I've changed. I know that direction is wrong. And I'm going to walk this direction. That's confession. I'd like to share with you some practical advice that I hope will help you in your confession. The first thing is be honest. Be honest in your confession. If you took the Lord's name in vain, don't confess to a slip of the tongue. Confess to blasphemy, because that is what it is. And by the way, if I can just throw this out for free. If you typed OMG in your text or on your Facebook page, confess to blasphemy, Because when we write that, we don't mean, O majestic God. That's not what that means.
Amen.
That is taking our dear Lord's name in vain. And He deserves better than that. And we need to be honest and say the same thing God says about that. It's not just an exclamation. It's not just a punctuation. It's blasphemy. And we are people who should honor God and His name. Even on Facebook. If you looked at a woman to lust after, don't just confess to roaming eyes. Confess to committing adultery in your heart. Be honest. Don't excuse. Don't justify. Be honest. And that begins with being honest with yourself. And that's the hardest part. Be honest with yourself. Here's what I did. Here's why I did it. And then be honest to God in your confession. Second, be specific. I talked on Sunday a little bit about why you should be specific, but for those who weren't here, let me remind you. I remember when I was in college recognizing the prayer that I uttered just about every night. Dear God, thank You for today. Help me to sleep well tonight and give me pleasant dreams. Please forgive me of my sins and help me to have a good day tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And one day it occurred to me that in that very shallow and limited prayer, totally nothing like Daniel's prayer of confession, every night I pray, forgive me for my sins. What is it that I'm doing every day that I have to say that for every night? Well, I don't ever think about that. And so no wonder every day Satan keeps beating me at the same old stuff. We need to be specific, not because we have to get every sin listed in prayer so that we can be forgiven and go to heaven. That's not what it's about. We need to be specific because we need to be aware of where it is that Satan keeps beating us. So that we know where we need to surrender to God and where we need to cut things off and where we need to put the armor. We need to be specific because we need that for our growth. Be specific. Thirdly, forsake your sin. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 that we read the other night. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. We talked about the plugged-in saint who was penitent, understanding that if he had cherished iniquity in his heart, God would not have listened. Confession is not the get-out-of-jail-free card. I'll just act how I want and I live how I want. At the end of the day, I'll say something about it in prayer and everything's all right. Confession is about saying, here's what God has said about this. I'm not doing it anymore. I understand that we grow and we're struggling as we grow. I understand that like Peter, we may commit the same sin multiple times. But when we're coming to God to confess it, it better not be, oh, I'm really kind of cherishing it in my heart. I know it's wrong, but God, hope You just kind of overlook it. God, I'm giving this up. Help me give it up. I'm turning away from it. And that needs to be our commitment as we're offering that prayer. Forsaking our sin. Not hanging on to it. Not thinking that confession and the mercy God offers through confession is permission to just go ahead and keep doing it again the next day. But understanding it's the freedom that says tomorrow I can behave differently. And finally, forgive others. If I want God to forgive me when I confess sins to Him, I need to be willing to forgive others. In Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 6, when Jesus taught about prayer and He offered what many people call the Lord's Prayer or what others call the model prayer, He gave the example. And then in verse 14, He commented about only one thing in that prayer. Verse 14, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The only thing in that prayer he commented on was the request to be forgiven as we forgive others. If you are unwilling to forgive others, please do not think that God will be willing to forgive you. His forgiveness should change us, should alter us, so that we can pay His grace forward to others. And if it doesn't change us, then we are like that unforgiving servant who received forgiveness for something like 200,000 years worth of daily wages and turned around and found a fellow that owed him 50 days and couldn't forgive him. We don't want to be that guy. Let the forgiveness of God change you so that you might be a forgiving, gracious person. Confession. We're going to be led in a prayer of confession by Brother Chuck Newton, following which we'll be led in song number 431.
Let us pray. Dear kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're certainly thankful that You have blessed us with this avenue of prayer, that we can turn back to You, that we can confess our sin, our faults, and call them by the same thing that You call them. We pray, dear God, that You will help us to take this moment in time and draw a line between us and sin. We have failed You in our efforts to pray, and we need to draw a line and say, from this day forward, we will do better. We will grow in our prayer life with You. We've studied prayer. We know the great prayers in the Bible. Help us to incorporate those into our life. Dear Heavenly Father, we've also turned to the world in so many ways. We've turned to the world in our desires for entertainment, in our desires to satisfy our fleshly animal lusts. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will realize that these are sins. Sins that You will not have in Your presence, that You will not tolerate. And we know that You want us to be better than that. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You will give us the strength to recognize sin when we have it in our lives, and that we will have the strength to turn away from our sins, that we will draw a line and say, from this day forward, I will conquer that sin of worldliness, that sin that's in our lives. And dear Heavenly Father, as a country, we've driven You out of our government, out of our homes, out of our schools, out of our places of work and business. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we can bring You back into our lives more and more. We pray that we can bring You back into our homes, back into our marriages, back into our houses, back into our hearts, that all these places will be places that You would be welcome. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You will forgive us of trusting in ourselves, in our own power, our own riches, our own ways of doing things. We failed You. We need to learn what Your Word says. We need to draw a line and say, from this day forward, I will do what the Lord says. I will trust in the Lord. I will make more time in my life for the Lord. I will be more spiritually minded. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that You are a God of mercy, a God that is looking for His people to turn to Him for forgiveness. And we know that when people that are called by Your name turn away from their sins and turn to You for forgiveness, that You, in Your righteousness and in Your truth, will forgive. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to overcome the sins that we have in our lives, and help us to be the kind of people You would have us to be before others. These and all things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please turn to number 431. And if you're able, I'd like to ask you to please stand with me. 431.
Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of Thee, all of self and none of Thee, all of self and none of Thee, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of Thee. Day by day His tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered less of self and more of Thee. Less of self and more of Thee. Less of self and more of Thee. Brought me lower while I whispered less of self and more of Thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, Thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of Thee. None of self and all of Thee. None of self and all of Thee. Lord, Thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of Thee.
Please be seated.
O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, You are the God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, You have made heaven and earth. Incline Your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open Your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which He has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from His hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that You, O Lord, are God alone. This is Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 19. As Sennacherib had come to try to overthrow Judah, he had conquered Israel, and now he was coming to conquer Judah. And Hezekiah offered this prayer of supplication. You know, it is not surprising to me that God allows us to come into His presence and tell Him how amazing He is, adoring Him. And to be honest with you, it's really not all that surprising that God allows us to come into His presence and tell Him how awful we are in confession. But what does amaze me and what does shock me is that God allows us to come into His presence and ask Him for things. But that is exactly what He does. He, the great God and sovereign ruler of the universe, allows us, piddly, pitiful, pathetic people, to pray and cast our cares and announce our anxieties, to share our longings, our desires, our goals, and to bring them before His throne of mercy and grace and ask that His all-powerful hand will bring those things about. That is supplication or petition. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Our God wants to bless us. And no, we should not treat God like the great Santa Claus in the sky. And yes, God says no sometimes. But God wants to bless you, His child. He wants to provide you with good and great gifts. In fact, He has been providing you with good and great gifts, even if we don't always recognize it. He wants us to come into His presence and cast our cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. We can ask. And we do not have to be ashamed to ask. We don't have to worry that we're bothering Him too much. Haven't you had that relationship with someone that you needed things from them? Maybe you had a new job and you're constantly going to your boss or your supervisor or somebody else that's working. I need some help with this again. And you're just, and what do we always say? Oh, I hate to bother you. Oh, I hate to bother you. Oh, I hate to bother you. And you know, some of them say, well, then stop. We don't have to preface that to God. God, I hate to bother you again tonight, but we don't have to do that. God wants us to come into His presence, cast our cares upon Him, share with Him what we need and what we long for. In James chapter 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. We are allowed to ask. God wants to bless us. And we need to understand that there are some blessings that God wants to give us, but before He will give them to us, we have to ask. In James chapter 1, it talks about wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Do you want wisdom? Then you've got to ask. In 1 John 1 that we've already read about confession, If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we want that forgiveness, we got to ask. There are things that He wants to give us, but He is waiting until we ask. And as we said the other night, I question, how many of God's good gifts go unopened simply because we didn't ask? And one of the things that is truly amazing about petition is that there is a kind of petition that blows my mind, and we call that intercession. That is supplicating or petitioning on behalf of someone else. And that is truly a profound and amazing thing that God allows of us as His children. The idea of interceding on someone else's behalf, it would be as if, say I wanted something from David. And I say, well, I don't know David all of that well. But I've gotten to know Shane or Jeff kind of well. And I think that maybe as, I don't really know what kind of relationship they have, but I think maybe as his sons, he would listen to them a little bit more than he would listen to me. Jeff and Shane says, no, maybe not. I don't know. But I think that. And so having become friends with them, I go to them and say, hey, would you intercede with your father on my behalf? I need to borrow his lawnmower. I think he'll tell me no, but I'm sure he'll tell you yes. And so, would you intercede on my behalf? That's what intercession is. It's the idea of going to someone else saying, hey, you've got that kind of relationship. His ear is bent towards you. When God says that we are able to intercede for one another, He is saying that we have that kind of relationship with Him. His ear is bent toward us. And that is amazing. And so we need to intercede for one another. I'd like to share with you some practical advice about supplication, whether we're talking about petition or intercession. The very first thing is, don't be selfish. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, in chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. In chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. We need to give some real thought to our petitions and our supplications and our intercessions. Let me ask you, why is it that you want me to pray on your behalf that you receive that raise or that promotion? Is it because you are going to use that somehow to glorify God, or is it because you just want to be able to have more stuff? We need to give some thought to that. The petitions that we have, why are we asking for them? Is it just to spend it on us? Why is it that we're asking to be healed from that disease? Is it because we plan to do something with our life in God's service? Or is it because we just can't stand the idea of missing out on something? Don't be selfish. One of the things, if you study prayer for any length of time, read the psalmist, read the prayers in the Bible, one of the things that you will see over and over and over again, the overarching goal of prayer is God's glory. And even in our supplications and our requests, we need to have that in mind. You remember Jesus in the garden? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Because the most important thing here is your glory. That's what it was about. We need to get rid of the selfishness in our praying. We need to understand that the goal of prayer is not to bend God to our will. The goal of prayer is not to get God to do what we want. I hope you read the article that was in the bulletin on Sunday. People today are saying prayer doesn't work because I prayed for something and it didn't happen. Well, if the goal of prayer was to get God to do the things that I want, then yeah, hey, it doesn't work. But that's not the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is not to bend God to our will, but to bend us to His. And through prayer, as I become more like Jesus Christ, prayer is working. Don't supplicate selfishly. Now, I know this next bit of advice I'm going to give you is going to shock you, that you have no idea what I'm about to say. Be specific. The reason you need to be specific is not to inform God of what you need. The fact is God knows what you need even before you ask Him. The reason you need to be specific is because you and I need to understand exactly what it is that we're dependent upon God for. You see, when we come to God and we make a petition, we are tacitly saying, I can't do this on my own. And we need to be reminded of what it is that we need God for. Everything. So be specific. Be observant. If we're going to talk about intercession, the fact is, there are a whole lot of people that even though we should be a little bit more open and honest with each other about the needs that we have, whether it's physical needs or spiritual needs, most folks just aren't. And so it's going to take being observant. It's going to take keeping our eyes open, listening to the tone of voice, recognizing the change in moods, understanding it looks like somebody is going through something, and then go talk to them about it. And be observant. And as we are observant and we are interceding, make sure you actually intercede. Oh, it's almost as if we as Christians have our own small talk. You know what I mean? This happens with everyone. Hey, how you doing? Fine. We just ride on through. We don't even think about it because we really didn't mean it. We really didn't care how you were doing. That's just what we're supposed to say. And somebody lets us know that something's going wrong, and we just say to them, oh, I'll be praying for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And then a couple days later, we see him coming down the road. Oh, I told him I'd pray for him. Dear God, please be with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Hey, been praying for you. You know, one of the things that we might do, rather than saying to somebody, hey, I'll pray for you. How about this? Hey, can we pray together right now? Can you imagine what it would be like if we had guests that came into this assembly, and when the assembly was over, as they were on their way out, of course, being greeted by multiple people, but they happened to notice a few pockets of people around here bowing in prayer. Because as we were talking to one another, we learned about needs. And we said, hey, can I pray with you about that right now? Somebody calls you on the phone. Man, I'm having this trouble. Can I pray with you? And they say, I'm in the car. And I say, that's okay. You keep your eyes open. But we can pray. Let's do it right now. But that takes some observance. We've got to have our eyes open. We've got to be looking around. And finally, what I suggest is be willing to be part of the answer. When we are praying, whether it's for ourselves or for others, be willing to be part of the answer. Prayer is not this kind of get-out-of-jail-free card where we just drop it in God's lap and now I'm just going to sit around and wait. We've got to be willing to be part of the answer. And so when we ask God to provide food for our family, we get up and we go to work. When we ask God to provide us a job, we go submit applications and resumes. When we ask God to help fix a relationship, we go and we confess and ask for forgiveness. The story is told of a fellow that was on a subway. And a pregnant woman walked on, and he looked around, and all the seats were taken, and he saw her reach up and grab one of those straps, and he just, dear God, please, that woman looks so uncomfortable, please find her a place to sit down. She needs a place. Won't you please find her somewhere to sit down? And then he realized he was sitting on the answer to his prayer. And he got up. And you know what God did? He found her a place to sit down. Sometimes we need to understand that we are sitting on God's answers to our prayers, and we need to be willing to be part of the answer. God lets us petition and supplicate. At this time, we're going to be led in a prayer of supplication by Brother Dwayne Steinle, and then we're going to sing number 530.
Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this evening. So thankful that we can come before your throne and bring forth these petitions. We're so thankful, Father, that we were able to have this meeting, that Brother Edwin was able to come to us, and that we could have the time and opportunity to study prayer. We pray, our Father, that this series of lessons will touch us, touch all of us in the audience today, and that we will be stronger. We pray, our Father, for Brother Edwin as he brings this lesson across our land, that many souls will be touched and will be brought into thy kingdom. We pray for Brother Edwin and his family, that you'll continue to strengthen him and them in thy service. Father, we're so thankful for the fact that you put us together in groups. We pray for wisdom for each and every soul that is here today. We pray, our Father, that we'll have wisdom in the way that we allot our time, in the way that we raise our families, in the ways that we conduct ourselves in front of unbelievers. We ask thee, our Father, to heal Brother Bruce and to bring him back to a full measure of his health, that he can rejoin us here at this place. We pray that you'll comfort his family and strengthen them as they go through this very difficult time. We pray also, our Father, for Sister Amy and Sister Rhonda and Brent, that their loved ones that are sick, that they'll be healed as well, and that their family will be joyous once more. We're so thankful, our Father, for this congregation. We pray for peace, continued peace that we have, the love that we have for one another, that all this will continue. We pray for the elders, that they will stand steadfast for thy word, and that come what may, no error will enter into these doors. Father, we pray for our nation in which we live, that there'll be a great revival, that men and women will once again raise up holy hands and read thy word and come into thy kingdom. We pray for this nation's leaders and the decisions that they will make. We pray especially, our Father, that we may continue to lead quiet lives so that we may be good servants of yours without persecution. We ask, our Father, that you remove our sins far from us, and that you strengthen us in trying to walk like Jesus, perfect in all the things that we read in thy word. Keep us healthy and strong and ever ready to do thy will. Remove pride far from us, and let all things be done for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In just a moment, we're going to be singing number 332, I Surrender All. We're going to be using that as an invitation song. Before I offer the invitation, I just want to say thank you very much for letting me be here with you this week. Thanks to the elders for the invitation to come and work with you. I hope that this has accomplished what you have wanted. I hope it's been beneficial, and I want to remind you of what we started off with. that this is about growth. And I hope that now, six lessons into this, that we feel like we're a little bit further along than we were Sunday morning, and that we're going to continue on with that growth. I want to say a special thanks to everyone who had me out or had me into their homes, and really appreciate that, and appreciate you guys being nice to me and helping me maintain my more healthy approach to life these days. You know, I was telling Adam, it's funny because everywhere you go, they all pray, give the preacher a long life in your service. Then they invite you into their homes and say, here, have a heart attack. And so, and I appreciate you guys being nice to me about that and helping out with that. And of course, so thankful for Adam and Alicia. And I'm glad that Adam's here with you and his good wife and their awesome little son, Noah, who I know really is the reason why you like them. But Adam's a great fella, and I'm glad to get to know him just a little bit better. And you guys are very fortunate to have him here working with you. And I appreciate them opening up their home to me and to Ryan this week. And so just thank you very much. And I look forward to getting to know you guys better in whatever ways and whenever we cross paths. And, of course, especially spending eternity with you all. That's going to be awesome, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be singing number 332, I Surrender All. Not I Surrender Some. Not I Surrender A Little. Have I written the wrong one? I'm good. Okay. Did I forget to let you lead a song? That's what I did wrong. Ryan's up here going, like, why is he raising his hand? Okay, sorry about that, but we're going to sing number 332. Is that okay? Because it would be awkward to go back and say all that stuff again. 332. We're going to be singing that as our invitation song. Okay, now I have to figure out where I was again. Not I surrender some, not I surrender a little bit, not I surrender most, but I surrender all. And the reason why I want to do that is because God surrendered all. When He looked down and saw my sins, He didn't say, I'll give a little bit for it. He didn't say, I'll pay some for it. He paid all. His Son, Jesus Christ. And surrendering all is more than just, hey, one day I got baptized. Surrendering all is saying, I'm going to die with Jesus Christ in baptism so that I can be raised to walk with Jesus Christ and let Him be in control, no matter what His decision is. We want to invite you tonight to surrender all. If we can help you with that, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?